From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews. The message is entitled, The Trial and Triumph of Faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Safest Place. The text is John chapter 10, verse 28, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We believe in the eternal security of the saints. First, because they are Christ's, and he will never lose the sheep which he has bought with his blood and received of his Father. Next, because he gives them eternal life, and if it be eternal, well then, it is eternal, and there can be no end to hell and heaven and God. If spiritual life can die out, it is manifestly not eternal life, but temporary life. But the Lord speaks of eternal life, and that effectually shuts out the possibility of an end. Observe further that the Lord expressly says, They shall never perish. As long as words have a meaning, this secures believers from perishing. The most obstinate unbelief cannot force this meaning out of this sentence. Then, to make the matter complete, he declares that his people are in his hand, and he defies all their enemies to pluck them out of it. Surely it is a thing impossible, even for the fiend of hell. We must be safe in the grasp of an almighty Savior. Be it ours to dismiss carnal fear as well as carnal confidence, and rest peacefully in the hollow of the Redeemer's hand.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shyness, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels, born in a song.
Sorrow, free from my doubts and fears.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As he continues this message entitled The Trial and Triumph of Faith, Dr. Cairns takes his text from verses 13 through 16. These verses apply particularly to Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, to whom God had given promises of land, descendants, and ultimately of Christ. They did not live to see the fulfillment of those promises, but yet they lived in the light of what God had promised. They knew that their God could not fail, so their vision was upon the heavenly country. These Old Testament saints lived in the light of the great prospects which lay before them. They resisted the temptation to turn back to the land from which they had come. Not only did they live by faith, but as the text reminds us, they died in faith. Their belief in the gospel enabled them to die with the sight of Christ, to die in light instead of in darkness. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the next portion of this message called The Trial and Triumph of Faith.
How compromise is eating away at the heart of even the most orthodox of people. Some, I think, were never anything more than wolves in sheep's clothing. Others were good men, but their thinking has been turned askew by compromise. I think of a Dr. Criswell going to see the Pope and bringing the papal blessing back to the Southern Baptists of Texas. I think of a J.I. Packer equally going soft on Romanism and now talking about what he has in common with the Roman harlot. That God's word has not one single syllable of good to say about. You can multiply these again and again and again. Add to that part of the compromise and the apostasy, the other part which is rife in new evangelicalism, the constant undermining of Scripture, the building it up in one hand, tearing it down with the other, saying they believe in inspiration, authority, infallibility, and then in the next breath pointing out all the errors of Scripture. These are evangelicals. You'll see that there is an apostasy abroad in the land. People are turning back. But I want to tell you, the man who is living by faith will ultimately have to say, this is my determination, not by sheer willpower, but just because I am living with my eyes on Christ and I'm living with my eyes on the glory that is to come. There is no turning back. An old hymn that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Some people have difficulty with that wording. It seems to place so much emphasis on human decision. I personally have no difficulty with it because I believe that my decision is the result of God's decision. That makes it a well-grounded decision. But I think it has a very important message. In coming to Christ, there is a decisiveness that produces a determination. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. If you think of the two famous places in the Old Testament, you'll find them in the life of the patriarchs playing a big part. You'll find Bethel and the place we generally call Ai. I think a Jew would have a great laugh at anybody pronouncing it like that, but that's how we recognize it. Bethel is the house of God. Ai means the heap. Very good picture of the world. And they are so positioned that if you have your face to Bethel, you have your back to the heap. And if you have your face to the heap, you have your back to Bethel. How are we to live as Christians in this evil world? We're to live in the light of God's promises, but we're to live in the light of our great prospects. We're to get our eyes on the Father and the Father's Lamb and the Father's Lamb, and we're to get our eyes on the Father's house. And as we have our eyes trained Bethelwards, we will automatically have our back toward the heap. The determination will be no turning back. No trial could turn these people back because they were living in the light of their prospects. Their delight is clearly seen. They desired a better country, a heavenly country. I like that. Here's the true mark of the man who's living in the light of his great prospects in Christ. He's not just quitting the world out of a mere sense of duty. I mean, we all know what that is. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do that, I don't do that. And I go down all the list of all the things I don't do. But you look at half the people who don't do, and you get the strong impression that if only they could have liberty, man, they would love to do it. In so many cases. And there's nothing more miserable than living with a mere bunch of do's and don'ts. Now, the things that Christians don't do, they're better never to do. What I'm talking about is the motive power not to do these things. These people had a delight in Christ that made the world distasteful, made sin distasteful. They could see the better country. They could see the heavenly country. They could have such a foresight of the glories of the Lamb and of the land that they didn't want to destroy their enjoyment of Christ with the things of the world. Ultimately, you know, Christian living always comes down to the enjoyment of Christ. If you're enjoying the Lord Jesus, and if you're enjoying His promises and delighting in the prospects that His grace holds out to you, you're going to live in victory. If you're enjoying Christ, man, you are not going to be overrun by the world. You're not going to be turning back. The key to Christian living is the enjoyment of Christ. Oh, there'll be trials. There'll be battles. Faith will be tried. Sometimes the things you expected to happen will not happen. Some things that you truly didn't expect to happen come to pass. You'll be tried. Nonetheless, in the midst of all the trial, the enjoyment of Christ will keep you and make you more than a conqueror. So they lived in the light of God's promises. They lived in the light of their great prospects. And then they died believing the gospel that had sustained them all through life. They died in faith. Literally, it means according to faith, these all died. Now, I haven't time really to preach on that. Time is gone. But if that can't be written over your tombstone, listen, by the time anybody comes to write anything in your tombstone, you'll be in hell. They died in faith. Man, that is a better epitaph than all the eulogies of the world. You may have a full page obituary in the New York Times and perish in a lost eternity. But let God just write over you, this man died in faith. The well with your soul. They died in faith. I like that because they died in the light. To the world, death is all darkness. I always like the words of the psalmist in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There is such a valley in Israel that always has been and still is to this day a horrific place to travel through. But I think that David was speaking also of his own death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's no valley of death for the believer. It's just the valley of the shadow. And you can't count of a shadow without a light. There's a light in the valley of death now for me. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ will not stop shining just because we come to death. Christians die in the light. For the rest of the world, whatever light they thought they had is going out, and they're going out into the blackness of darkness forever. But death for the Christian is a coming out of the shadow into the full glory of the light of God. They die in the light. Not only so, but when they die according to faith, they died with a sight of Christ. Think of that. They die with a sight of Christ. Maybe I'm going overboard here. But I think that, if not in every case, certainly in most cases, when Christians die, the Lord gives them a clearer sight of Christ than they've ever had before. We have all stood at the bedside of people in a deep coma. I wonder what goes on there. But I personally wouldn't be at all surprised that in the depths of what appears to us as unconsciousness, the Lord shows himself to his people as he brings them home. Certainly there are amazing cases that happen too often for it to be a mere coincidence or something that can be explained away. But again and again and again we have cases of Christians dying. And sometimes in great agony. Sometimes totally against the run of what they have been experiencing. Just before they go out into eternity. There is a sense of the presence of God, of His Christ. There is a sight they have where they constantly affirm, I see Jesus. And they go to be with Christ. But whether I am right in my speculation there or no, I will say this. When Christians die the way these people die, they die with their spiritual sight sharpened, and they have Christ in their focus. We're not dying trusting in our baptism. We're not dying trusting in our church. We're not dying trusting in our philosophy. We're dying in the sight of Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.